And I'm not going to keep you long. How many know that's a good thing? Amen. Pastor Gene, how can you not keep us long? Some of you are already thinking that. I did that because I didn't type my notes out. And I only got one thing to say. Isn't that good? That's a good thing. If you know me, I used to have about 10 pages of typed notes. And so I didn't even go there. I didn't want to be tempted this morning to go a long time. But we are going to today, we've been talking about this thing, Snapshots of the Savior. And we're going to bring it to a close today, and I want to just kind of bring this series to a close as we close out this time together this morning. We've been doing a series, and I think it's appropriate this morning that 33 Miles was here because we've been talking about the life of Jesus Christ. And how many know that Jesus Christ is such the most important thing that should be in your life today? And don't you know that? If you're a Christian today, he is the center and should be the center and the most important thing in your life today. And we've been doing a series called Snapshots of the Savior. And in this series, Snapshots of the Savior, we asked the question, who is Jesus? And if I ask you that question, who is Jesus? Many of you here today would have a kind of a photo in your mind. You would think of the manger. You would think of not only the manger, you would think of the cross and maybe the resurrection. That's kind of the first things that come to our mind. But beyond that, who is Jesus? And me asking that question is, today would be like me showing you a picture of my baby picture, a picture of my graduation, and a picture of me today and saying, do you know who I am? And you would say, oh yes, we know all about your life off of three pictures. And that's just not possible. It's not possible to know who I am just off of a few pictures. So we've been taking a look at some few pictures of Jesus' life. And what did he say to you and I? What did he really want to communicate to you and I? And the word 33 miles talks about the 33 years that Jesus lived on this earth. And we know today that he lived 33 years. But today we know that if he was just wanting to die on the cross, if he was just wanting to make an appearance, he would have just been born a man and said, all right, I'm here to die on the cross. Let's get it over with and get this thing done. But no, he came born a baby in the manger, and he walked this earth for 33 years. That's a very significant thing for you and I to understand, that our Lord, our God, would come to this earth and walk in our shoes and talk to you and I and to leave instruction for you and I and say, hey, listen, there's some very important things I want you to be aware of. And he did that for you and I, so we don't take it lightly. And I want to quickly just review these for you today. We talked about first, just follow the red paved road on Easter. We talked about just follow the red paved road. And we looked at throughout creation how God has pointed to the cross of Jesus Christ. That from the first sin in the garden, when God killed the animals and the blood was shed and he clothed Adam and Eve with the animal skin, that it was a foreshadowing of things to come, what it would take to wipe away the sins of the world. And we've seen, talked about the Passover lamb and when the lamb was offered and the blood over the doorsteps, that the death angel passed over those houses and they were spared, those who had the blood covering over the doors. And how the prophets came and they prophesied about the Lamb of God and about Jesus coming and dying for the sins of the world. And how John the Baptist said, behold, there is the Lamb of God. And all along that the signs and the prophets and God was communicating to us that there was an atonement that had to be made for the forgiveness of sins. And it wasn't just us bringing an animal sacrifice, but it had to do with even more than that. It had much more to do with us coming and seeing that Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. And we find that out that Jesus Christ was the only way for forgiveness of sins. And we talked about it right after that, that no one understands me like Jesus. No one understands me like Jesus. That's what's so significant about 33 miles is this, 33 years, is that no one understands you like Jesus. And today, no matter what you're going through your life, maybe you said, no one understands me, what I'm going through. No one understands the rejection I'm going through. No one understands the pain I'm going through. No one understands the financial struggle I'm going through. No one understands the emotional struggle I'm going through. You just need to add a line to that. No one but Jesus. Because no one understands you like Jesus. And today that we know that he worked and lived this earth. He did 3 years of ministry, but he lived 30 years as a regular person. Just working a job and identifying with you and I. And the Word of God is very clear that he understands us. He understands what it means to have your family reject you. He understands to have best friends turn on him. He understands what it means to have pay disputes. He understands what it means to work hard and to sweat. He understands, and nobody understands me like Jesus. He was wanting you to know that very clear. The next week we talked about, it's a small world. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. How many remember that Disney ride at Disney? It's a small world after all. No, it's not small. It's a spa, S-P-A. And that stands for a self-promoting attitude. And at the very core who Jesus was, he came to confront this attitude in us of self-promotion, of pride. And our society is all about self-promotion. It's all about this, getting credit for this and getting advancing. And Jesus said, no, you got it all wrong. I want to tell you one thing, that I've come to serve. He said, I come to serve and to teach you to serve. And if you're a Christian today, he came to confront that self-promoting attitude in us and to bring us a spirit of servanthood. We talked about after that, Christ the Master Teacher, and how the Christ the Master Teacher, how he came to teach us, and the parables that he taught, and how the Word of God says they were amazed at him. They were amazed at the way he taught. They were amazed at the things that he said. They were amazed at the things he did. That everywhere he went, Jesus amazed them. And that he taught in ways we could understand. And we made this statement that if you go to a church and your church is boring, don't blame Jesus. Don't blame God. Blame the pastor, okay? Because our God is not a boring God. Christ the Master Teacher was not a boring God. He was very creative. He was very, very unique in his teaching style. He's been called the greatest teacher, even by those who didn't believe he was God. They still say he is still the greatest teacher that ever walked the earth. The way that he taught and related the gospel into everyday language for you and I. He was very clear and wanted us to know about that. The next week we talked about warning labels. And this is a big one because how many are glad that God gives us warning labels? And that he was very clear about letting us know that we talked about how infomercials, how they don't give you the warnings. They just tell you all the good things, you know. For free, you know, for free, you can lose 156 pounds in 2 weeks, you know. For free, you can do this, and you can look like this, and all you got to do is just call today, and we'll ship it out for free. And they don't tell you that it's going to cost you six payments of $49 for a little thing that's just kind of got a little spring in it. And, or, you know, it's going to cost you all this money. And if they get the fine print, it says, with proper diet and exercise, you will lose weight. Well, duh! I don't need a rocket science to tell me that. But we've seen warning labels. We looked at some things, some cleaning products, and we looked at some diet pills and things that tell you all the good things. But if you read the warning labels in a very small print, they say, could cause death. Could cause, you know, eye loss. Could cause, you know, some very serious things, brain damage to your life. But that's in a small print, isn't it? That's in small print. They don't put that out there in the open. But when it comes to God, he was very clear. He puts it out there in the open. He says, hey, this is the cost of being my disciple. Yes, there's a lot of good things that come with serving God. There's a lot of abundant living and a lot of blessing that comes with serving God. The best decision you ever make. But he's also very clear about warning labels. Say, hey, if you're going to follow after me, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some things in your life. And he didn't just hide that issue. But Jesus was very forthright and honest with us. Now, I skipped this over. Can you believe I skipped one? I skipped one on my overhead, but we did talk about this. The road to greatness. The road to greatness. And we talked about that every one of us strive to be great, and we had this desire in us to be great. And I talked about as I'm getting older, which is very slowly, but as I'm getting older, that no longer do I want to accomplish a great thing. You know, as I was younger, I wanted to accomplish great things. But now as I'm getting older, that's kind of reversed. No longer do I want to accomplish great things, but now I want to be great. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great Christian. I want to be a great pastor. I want to be a great friend. I want to be a great husband. I want to learn to greatness. And God was very clear. Jesus came to show us the road to greatness. And what was the road to greatness? It had all to do with sacrifice. He says, what is your treasure? You want to be great? You give that thing you love up the most. Give that thing you love the most. Give it to me, and I will lead you to greatness. We talked about losing control, and when losing control is a good thing. Jesus wanted us to come and tell us, and in society today, that we like to be in control of everything, don't we? Society today, we like to be in control of a lot of things, that we're control freaks, aren't we? Some of you are really bad. Some of you are really bad. I'm glad I'm not that bad, but some of you are really bad about being control freaks. And, you know, and we want to be in control of everything, and society and control is good. It's a good thing. Those people who have ability to be in control, they're usually the ones who get promoted to supervisors and managers because they can control and manage a business and employees. And they get to be coaches because they can control teams and they can control players. So it's a good thing to be in control. But when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, he says it's just the opposite. Being in control is a bad thing. He says, I want you to abandon yourself to me. Give me full control of your life. And Jesus was very clear about us giving up control to him and about how that releases him to do things in our life. And last week, we talked about the miracles of Jesus. What did they say to me? And at the very core of the miracles, we studied that. What was Jesus trying to say to us during the miracles? Not only was he trying to prove and let us know that he was really God and that he is all-powerful over all the universe, that he could control anything he wanted to control, not only did he have the power just to speak into existence and the wind and the oceans would obey him, that the sick would be healed, that the dead would rise, that the blinded eyes would be opened, that those who couldn't speak could speak. Those things that Christ wanted to show to us, not only did he have power to control those things in our life, but also even behind that, there was a more important issue that he was trying to communicate to you and I was this, that we see the people that he did miracles on, they were all people of shame. Look at it. A majority of them are people who were suffering much shame in their life. From the blind man who was looked at as, he must have a big sin in his life because he's blind. God must have really had an end for his family because they blinded their son. What did he do? He can't work. He's got to beg. And what shame is upon his family? This man is blind. That's the way they've seen this man. And Jesus healed him. And we see the woman with the issue of blood who was labeled unclean because she had been bleeding for 12 years. She had never been able to go into a synagogue, never able to go and be touched because as she was bleeding, she was labeled unclean. You couldn't touch her, or you'd be labeled unclean. And so not being around human touch, not having anybody to love her, not being able to get her healing as she has suffered 12 years as an outcast of society. And even though there were thousands of people pressing to get to Jesus, that when she touched him, he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And he knew and he looked at her and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." And what was he saying? He was saying, "I don't call you an outcast. I don't call you unclean. I call you daughter." That's a term of endearment. That's a term of saying, "I recognize who you are. I see you today for who you really are. And I see my daughter. I see my son." And then when Jesus looks at us, he doesn't see the shame that we're bearing in our life. He doesn't see the things that we bring and say, "You know what? I've got a lot of things I'm not really proud of in my life. How can Jesus really love me?" He looks at you, and when you come to him with an honest heart, he says, "Son," he says, "Daughter, I love you. I love you." And we've seen the woman who was coming to be stoned in her life, and when they brought her, she said she's caught in adultery. And Jesus looked at her, and they said, "Jesus, do we stone her?" The Word of God says, "We stone her. What do we do?" And Jesus kind of ignored him, and finally he looked and said, "Hey, you without sin, cast the first stone." And they all dropped their rocks and walked away very sad because none of them could throw the stone because they had all sinned. And Jesus walks over to the woman who was caught in adultery and says, "Hey, where's your accusers?" And they're not there. He goes, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." And Jesus didn't pound her over the head and say, "Listen, you sinner, you've done this wrong and this wrong and this wrong." No, what he said to her was simply this: "Listen, I don't condemn you." Why is it? Because Jesus is much more worried about changing me than he is condemning me. He's much more worried about changing me than he is condemning me. And today, Jesus said to her, he said, "Hey, get up. Stop your sin. Get out of adultery. Stop your sin and go on. I forgive you. Go." He didn't beat her over the head, but he loved her. And showed us the biggest miracle of all, and that was forgiveness, that he has the ability to forgive us. And today I'm going to close you with one thought. We're going to wrap this up today. And these 33 miles, these 33 years that Jesus walked this earth, what did he really want to tell us? I want to talk to you today, and I want you to remember the most important thing to do. That's what he said. Let me tell you the most important thing to do. Let me find it here in Mark 12:29. Mark 12:29 says this. And Jesus answered them and said, "The most important command is this: love the Lord with all your, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. The second command is this: that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. There are no commands more important than these." See, we can memorize a lot of things in our life, a lot of things that God wants us to know, wants us to do. And he made it very simple. How many know we need it simple sometimes? That's what they were saying. They're saying, all right, God, we got all these laws, the Mosaic laws, and all these prophets, and all these people telling us to do this and that, and, you know, we're supposed to do this on this day, and we got to observe this, and do that, and do this. What's the most important thing to do? And Jesus, and it's very, Jesus didn't have John Maxwell to help him here, okay? He was very clear about leadership and communicating. How do I communicate to you and I that we can understand what is really important? And Jesus said this. He said, just remember this, that you love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you look at your neighbor and you love them as you love yourself. Very clear, wasn't it? He says, if you forget that, the rest of it doesn't mean a thing. We could build the biggest church in the 4-state area. We could build the biggest church in the nation, in the world. What would it value if we haven't learned to love God with all of our heart? And we haven't learned to love people? Because that's really where it's at. When it comes down to it, that's what Christ wanted us to know, that we are called to love him. And in society today, how do we love God? For to be honest today, I've said it here before at Destiny Church, if we're being honest, if we want to tell the truth, really we give God just a piece of our life. That we see it kind of like the pie. I use that example a lot. That we have this pie and we have a slice of pie. We got our job, we got our family, we got our finances, we got our hobbies, we got our children, we got education. We got all these things that we're doing in our life, and they all take a slice out of our life. And we got our God slice, we got our church slice over here. It's Sunday, so I'm going to take this church slice today and God slice, and I'll do that. And we bring it to God. Here, God, here's a slice of the pie. Look at it. Oh, it looks good at the God. Oh, it tastes so good. Here you go, God. You know what God does when we do that? It breaks his heart because he doesn't want a piece of the pie. He says, I want the whole pie. He says, I want it all. I want all of your heart. I don't want to just be a piece of your heart. I want all of your life. Well, Pastor, how's that possible? That means that, God, I give you my job. God, I give you my family. God, I give you my children. God, I give you my dreams. God, I give you my hurts. God, I give you my disappointments. God, I give you my sin. God, I give you my pride. God, I give you everything I am. It all belongs to you. And I lay it at your feet, Jesus, and I give it to you. Today, he's saying, I want all of you. I love the Lord my God with what? All of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul. He says, I want it all. And he says, and when you do that, what's he do in return? Then he gives you back to you, doesn't he? Isn't that so awesome? See, when I give God my life in return, he gives me back. He says, hey, all right, now you use this and you bless others. You take your dreams and I'm gonna breathe my anointing on your dreams. You take your ministry and give it to me and I'm gonna bless you in your ministry. You take your job and give it to me and I'm gonna breathe on that thing and I'm gonna bless your job. I'm gonna give you favor there. You're gonna touch people. You give him your children. Wow. I'm gonna guard, I'm gonna protect. I'm gonna be with your children. Give him your marriage. See, as I give things to God, what am I doing? Not only am I sacrificially laying them down and saying, God, that nothing comes above you, then in return, he blesses it and gives it back to me to use. I don't want to touch anything if God hasn't blessed it. I don't want God to do anything in my life unless he is touching it and blessing it in my life. And he says this, and then when you do that, he says you learn to love those around you as yourself. Why is that important? Because you realize this, when you love the person around you, even though they don't deserve it, even though you don't want to, even though they've hurt you, even though they disappointed you, when you learn to love them, it'll be the closest thing that you ever come to being the most Christ-like. Because look at us. That while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for me and he died for you. And when I love people and I forgive people, even though they've talked about me, even though they've hurt me, even though they've done things against me that's wrong, that when I learn to forgive people and love people for who they are, I'm becoming the most like Christ. It's very simple. I don't need to package it in a cute way. I don't need 10 points to tell you that he expects us to love him with all of our heart, and he expects you to love those around you. And when I'm loving people around me, I am being the most Christ-like I can be. Not when I can quote every scripture in the Bible. Not when I dress a certain way. Not when I am listening to Christian music all day long. The most Christ-like I become is when I learn to love people, even those who don't deserve my love. Even so, even more so, am I becoming like Christ. I'm going to ask you this morning to bow your heads. I'm going to ask 32 Miles to come back this morning. And with every head bowed this morning, before we go any further, if you're here today and see Pastor Gene, as you're speaking, I just realized that God loves me. As you're speaking, I realize that God loves me, and my heart is so ready to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Maybe you never prayed that prayer before. Maybe you never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. Or maybe you have, and you found yourself far, far away from him. If you have turned your back on him, you stopped living for him. And today you say, I want to come back home. I want to give my heart back to Jesus and tell him today that I want to live for him again. I don't care where you're at today. If that's you, no one's looking but me. You say, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. I would not embarrass you. I want you to raise your hand. If that's you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else today? That's me, Pastor. Thank you. Anybody else today? That's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. God's speaking today to your heart. Yes, Jesus. Anybody else today? I'm going to give you one more chance. You say, Pastor, I need to raise my hand. I need to accept Jesus today in my life. I want to accept his love in a real way. Anybody else? Can you raise your hand? We're going to pray this prayer, and then we're going to go on. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you my heart. I give you my sin. I give you everything I am. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. If you prayed that prayer today, and you meant it from your heart, know today that your sins are forgiven. Yeah, let's give a hand clap for those who prayed that prayer. If you raise your hand and you prayed that prayer today, well, at the very back today, those white doors, we'll have people back there with some pamphlets today. We have a packet for you that tells you what do you do next, some free gifts for you, some things you can have. This is a special gift today for us to let you know that you are making the right decision. It's more than just praying a prayer, though. It's turning away from the way you used to be and say, God, I'm going to walk towards you. I want to begin to pursue you. If you don't have a church home, you're welcome here. If you have a church home, go back home and tell your pastor that you prayed that prayer today, that you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. The second thing I want to ask you today is this. Jesus lived 33 miles, and he taught a lot of things to us. What is it that in your life today, do you really know who he is? Are you just here because it's a Sunday and it's the thing to do? Or are you getting a hold of the snapshots of the Savior? Are you realizing that he wanted to communicate more to me than just the cross and just the resurrection and just the manger? There are some very important things that God wanted to speak to me. Some very important things that he wanted me to know. Yes, there is a God. And he knows where you are today. And every one of us are here today, we're maybe at different points in our life. But as they come this morning, they're going to close us out with this song. I'm going to ask you to check your own heart and say, God, be real in my life. Be real in my life. Expand who you are in my life. May I know you for who you are. Come. Thank you.
a silence in the soul that I just can't explain. There's a breath of life I breathe, a being in my heart, a magnificence that scares since what lies past the stars. Beyond what we can see, behind the mystery, I know that it could only be. There is a God. This is the proof that all around the evidence is speaking the truth. From the center of my soul to the edge of the universe, creation is crying out, believe it or not, there is a God. There's a debt that has been paid, a grace that I've been shown, a hope that I've been given, that I had never known. There's a love that conquers darkness, a peace alive in me. There's a light that's not just here and now, but for eternity. Beyond what we can see, behind the mystery, I know that it could only be that there is a God. This is the proof that all around the evidence is speaking the truth. From the center of my soul to the edge of the universe, creation is crying out, believe it or not, that there is a God. I believe it, well, there is a God. I can feel it, I can feel it. There is a God, and the more I find, the less I need to see. I've never been so sure, so sure of anything.
Fathers in the house. Is there any fathers in the house today? If you're a dad, will you raise your hand? Hey, dads, next week, what is next week? Father's Day. If you don't have a home church, I invite you to be here. Listen, next week, if you're a father, you do not want to miss next week. Let me tell you this. Many times I feel like God is leading me, but sometimes I know that God is speaking directly to me for the men of this church. And God has given me a message and direction for the men of destiny of this church. And you don't want to miss next week. It's going to be life-changing for your life. God is going to start something new in your life, in your family. I believe next week is a very critical time for the men of our church. Guys, come next week. Bring your family. Bring your friends. Let God speak to you. How many enjoy 33 miles? Can you bless them one more time? Remember, stop by their table, grab some CDs and some t-shirts. Let them know that you enjoyed them. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll see you tonight at Carousel Park for those who come out. You guys have a great week. Amen.